a series called Mind Battles. How many have been enjoying the thought that the Lord's been bringing to us over mind battles? Is it changing the way you think? Because if you think differently, you will live differently, right? And so we need to know and not be ignorant concerning the enemy's devices. We don't want to give the enemy any extra accolade, no place in our life, but we want him to know. We know what he's doing and we know his tricks because the Holy Spirit's talking to us. Anybody hear the Holy Spirit remind you of what Jesus said? And we got a few amens on that one. We want to talk about that today. And so we're going to be talking about breaking the fear trap. Breaking the fear trap in the life of believers. Anybody have to deal with fear at times? Well, you're going to find it very interesting today to notice that fear is real. And it's in many believers' lives. And the effect of it is damaging relationships. The most damaging relationship that it has is our relationship with God. And Proverbs 29:25 says it this way, reading from the New Living Translation, "Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety." If you really want to be where God wants you to be, in the victory lane, you need to be aware that trusting Him is key. But there's an element that we want to deal with today so you know that getting fear out is important. For the most, the fear of man is the number one bondage that we deal with. Now, in your brochure, if you have it, there's some hearing notes there, and you can keep notes and write stuff down. So you're going to need to take this back to your fellowship time with the Lord and address it. Some of us are going to face some things here in this message. It's going to, oh, my goodness. Didn't realize that was the enemy at work. But we're going to uncover some things about what he's doing. The reason fear is the number one bondage that most believers deal with is it's the most deceptive trap that the enemy uses in our lives. Believers who are bound by the fear of man typically don't even realize that they are bound. They actually don't realize it's a spirit. They think in their own mind that that's who they are. It's their personality. And so we've come to this idea that this is who I am. And it has nothing to do with who God says you are. And so I will not leave this alone when it comes to who you are and your identity. I'm going to stay there because the Lord has me there because he wants you to get a revelation of how he sees you. Not how the world sees you and how the enemy sees you. And so people that are bound by the fear of man fall into these two categories. See which one you fall into. You're either a people pleaser. Anybody ever been in that place where you're in bondage trying to keep everybody happy? Or you can't be at peace? Everybody have done that before? So maybe that's been the challenge you've faced, just pleasing people. But then there's the A type, the control freak. And I just want you to know that's a spirit. I ask the person sitting next to you if they think it's a spirit, and they'll tell you, yeah, that's a spirit. It's a bad one. But remember this. When we attempt to please, when we attempt to control our relationships, what we do is we begin to lose sight of and clarity of hearing what God has to say about them. While I'm trying to please you, I miss what God has to say about you. Or while I'm trying to control you, I miss what God has to say about you. And what God has to say about you in our relationship is very key for that relationship to be healthy. But if the enemy can get me manipulated and he can hide that trap just right, amen, he can trap me into this idea that ministry is about pleasing people. The good news is today, if you're being manipulated by the enemy and you're a man pleaser or you're a control freak, God wants you to know that you can be freed from the fear of man. He wants you to know your best days are before you. And so you can't cast a spirit out. You can, rather, but it's a lot easier to do than it is to change your personality. And so as a believer, some of the spirits that the Lord wants you to cast out have to do with your own personal life. You can cast a spirit out, and that's easier than changing your personality. So the idea that you're going to change you, you can't change you. Only God can make you, or you can let the enemy manipulate you into thinking it's you, and he'll make you believe something that's not true about you. Is this okay? Proverbs 25 and or 29 and 25 says that fearing people is a dangerous trap. Now, what kind of trap is this? It's the most elusive of traps. It's set and hidden from its prey. It deceives you into thinking that you can get out of it even if you get snared by it. It's a pretty dangerous trap to get into. It looks simple. It looks like it won't really hold you captive. But when this trap is triggered, it will speak to the ones that are trapped in it. It speaks out loud to its prey. When it's clear that you've been trapped, fear begins to invade the mind. Amen. Anybody, you ever been afraid of what people are saying about you? Or afraid what people think about a subject matter and you won't respond because you don't want to offend nobody? As believers, ladies and gentlemen, we have to be reminded that God hasn't given us this spirit of fear. Amen. We're not talking about a personality of fear. We're talking about a spirit. And so, who and what is fear? Fear is a prophet that wants to tell you and attempts to tell you about your future. This spirit prophet, which is evil, not good, its subject is always about what people will do to you or what others will say about you. And so it can get you to consider maybe that these lies are true. It can manipulate your future. This prophet spirit will say whatever is necessary to trap you into the fear of man. It's after you to puppet your life. And so the fear of man is the most common fear in the Bible. When you consider the Word of God, God says, fear not. Mostly, he's talking about men and other people in your life. Don't fear the nations. Don't fear these people. Don't fear those unbelievers. Fear not is about the fear of man when God speaks about it. And so Jesus says it this way in Luke 12 and verse 4. He says, dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more than to you after that. But verse 5, notice what he says. I tell you whom to fear. Fear God who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one that we should fear. Fear makes it impossible to confess your faults one to the other, that you may be here, healed. Anybody need healing? Spirit, soul, and body? In some area you need healing. The fear that the enemy wants to trap you in keeps you from your testimony and your miracle. And so you can actually be a believing leader and be influenced by this spirit. You know how I know that? Because I've been influenced by it. I've been influenced by it as a pastor of a great group of people. Didn't realize it for quite some time in my ministry of serving people and loving the Lord back by giving my heart to him. But there was a time when I come to realize that, oh my goodness, I am bound by the fear of men. Why? Because I wanted everybody to like me. Anybody ever thought like that before? And I began to think that ministry was about pleasing people. But the scripture is pretty emphatic. It says that if you're a man pleaser, you cannot be the servant of God. It's not possible to please men and God. And so the temptation for the enemy to agree with the enemy's lie that as I'm trying to serve people that I need to please them equal ministry caused something else to happen. Not only was I a man pleaser and bound by the fear of men in that aspect, but then when I would go home, I feared that my family was going to require me to please them too. And so instead of coming home postured like I am, amen, with people at the church family, I would go home posture with a little bit more rigid boundaries, which in turn was God revealing to me, son, I didn't call you to be a control freak. You're not going to build your family. I'm going to build your family. You're not even going to build the people in this house serving here. I'm going to build them. And so he began to reveal to me, amen, the bondage that I was in and didn't even know I was in it. Amen. My religious influence had an impact on my life that caused me to think a certain direction. And you know what? God's so good. He's so merciful. He'll work with it until we become pliable through the storms and challenges of life, through unhealthy portions of our relationships being evident that God's not there and we need God to intervene. Humility has a way of causing you to say, God, help. And when you open your spirit up to him, he'll turn the light on. Amen? And it dispels the darkness. But it also gets you to a place where you can be transparent and you can confess your faults one to the other that you may be healed. Some of us today need to hear this because you're tired. You're wearied. You believe in Jesus, but the evidence of being a believer is kind of limited at best. And you just know God has something better than what you've experienced from this point back. You need something moving forward that's his fingerprint on it for sure. I know that I know that I know. Can anybody agree with that today? And so with me being transparent to you to let you know how the Spirit, amen, of the fear of men has worked in my own life, even in ministry as a believer, and seeing wonderful things happen, multiple testimonies, the evidence of God at work, and yet the enemy is trying to stop it. He wants to bring it to a screeching halt. There's three things that you need to know about the fear of man. Number one, it traps you to man. The fear of man will trap you to man. John 12, 42. Yet at the time, the same time, many even among the leaders believed in Jesus, speaking of him. But because of the Pharisees, the people that believed in Jesus, because of the people, the fear of man, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. Well, grandma was this and I'll be that. Why? Because I fear man. I have the fear of man in my life. And Jesus is trying to take you to a new level in relationship with him. But because of the fear of man, amen, you can't move. For they loved human praise. Verse 43. More than praise from God. So the fear of man will bind us to people and what people think while displacing God in our heart and our thinking. Ask yourself, who am I allowing to sit as Lord in my heart? Ask yourself that right now. And how do they, whoever it is that sits as Lord in your heart, operate in your life? Is it through fear or is it through love? Which one is it operating through? Everyone serves one or the other, fear or love. And you can't serve both masters. You're going to hate one and love the other, or you're going to love one and hate the other. So you see, when we're bound by the fear of man, this is what happens. Man becomes a meter of acceptance. Man becomes the standard of success. What happens is we need man's approval when we're bound by the fear of man. You see, our joy becomes tied to the feelings of fickle people. And we're tempted, amen, to try to accommodate, amen, everybody involved. And before you know it, it becomes a whirlwind of frustration. When we're bound by the fear of man, man becomes, amen, our value system. We begin to judge by the standard of men. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And this is what so-and-so believes. I agree with them. And so I'm on their side because I am bound by the fear of men. And we become tied to their opinions. We become tied to their advice. It's man's wisdom that we begin to esteem. In short, as man goes, so we go. And so I want to encourage you today. The fear of man has been the source of my personal offense growing in the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to forget that. I want to remember what Jesus has been delivering me from. And my concerns of what man would say and think about me, that's torment. That's hell on earth. And the Lord made it clear, you can make your bed in hell and I will be there, because he's not stopping. He's coming after us. The good news today, he's after you and me. And no matter what you've been through, how bad you've been beat up, this is the day the Lord hath made. And he had you in mind when he brought the day forth. His mercies are new every morning. He's in this for you. It's all about you. Amen. And so Peter writes it about teachers in bondage. Amen. It could be written about me there for a time. In 2 Peter 2:19, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are slaves to corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is he brought into bondage. Let me give you an illustration. Everybody ever done a three-legged race before? Yeah, you've done them. Yeah, but parties and family gatherings, and man, those games exist to make you look stupid. Either you or your teammate is going to be more athletic, and one is going to be limited to the other's talent. Isn't that right? This is how fear of man works. It limits your potential. Amen. You can't be you. Your ability to function in your identity is tied to the whims of others instead of the Christ in others. And so it is. The passion of others that we are tied to diminishes our potential when their passion isn't spirit-led. And I've been in that boat before. And I've carried people that way before, because I was yielding to the fear of man more than I was God at times. Let me say this again. God has been merciful. I've been in ministry. And I've been a man pleaser more than I want to talk about. And God mercifully worked with that. But this is so important. It diminished my ability to hear what God had to say while I was trying to please humanity. Let me tell you something. The voice of God becomes so real when you're in it to please him. When you're so in it to acknowledge him in all of his ways, Jesus promised that he would send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he would remind you of everything he ever said. Can I digress a minute? My sheep hear my voice, he says. I know them and they follow me. Why? Because my sheep are into pleasing me. They stay close to me as the shepherd. Boy, we got a good daddy, don't we? And his voice is so real. And every one of us have the ability to hear what he's saying. So I would challenge everyone here today, as Jesus is the one saying it, he or she that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. If God had his way, you came with a word already, and you know what God's saying, and I'm confirming it to you. I'm validating. I am giving you hope even more right now, because God's word is yea and amen. Amen. So we're designed to be who Jesus says we are in him, not who others say we are. Second thing you need to know about the fear of man, it traps you from God. It traps you from God. Amen. It doesn't just hold you to one. It pulls you away from the other. Peter was manipulated by the fear of man. And during a time that Jesus was being judged, and amen, and he was about to be crucified, and he was going through all the accusations and then the judgment and the torment. In Luke 22 and 55, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." There's your fear of man. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Fear of man again. Then after an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." Fear of man. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. Amen. The fear of man trapped Peter from God. Can you see this? And so, is this you today? Is this message giving you, amen, an idea that that may be you at work, or the enemy at work in your life? But this message is not here today to make you feel bad. This message is here to give you hope that, hey, your best days are before you, and they can start right now. And some of you are saying, "Man, I sure hope so." Well, amen, if we had hope in this world, we'd be of men most miserable, wouldn't we? But our hope is in Him. He makes the difference. Understanding this today will liberate you. It'll help you better understand that our God can actually be man if we allow it. Amen? If you're a man pleaser, or you're a control freak, you're allowing man to be your God. And the enemy will hide behind that. Two people wept bitterly in Scripture, in the New Testament, Peter and Judas. But I want you to know something today. Condemnation doesn't exist in them that are in Christ. You know, however, there is a feeling that we all get when we walk away from Jesus. Beautiful thing about this, even though we get the feeling and that the enemy's working that out, Jesus never walks away from us. And I want you to just be sensitive today to that reality. Just consider today, as I finish this thought here in the next little bit, that you can actually feel that He's close by. Even though you have walked away from Him, you can feel that, you know, He didn't leave me. I'd done Him wrong, but He hadn't done me wrong. I left Him, but He hadn't left me. Just consider for a moment that He's close by. Our faith doesn't rest in our ability today to hold on to Him. Our faith rests in His ability to hold on to us. And for everybody here today, His grip is better than your grip. That's the kind of God, amen, that puts you together, put a plan on your life, and calls you out of darkness into marvelous light. And I'm just going to tell you very plainly here today, trying to be a man pleaser is darkness. Trying to control your relationships is darkness. God will work with you, though. Have you ever felt as though the Lord has been looking at you like He looked at Peter? Some of you are thinking, saying, "My goodness, if Peter done me that way, I'd have done, shame on you." Right? Or, "Boy, I told you he was going to do that." But you see, when Jesus looks at us, He don't look at us like that. His look is that it's all going to be okay. Yeah, you dropped the ball, but there's a plan. Amen, it's going to be okay. I'm not quitting on you. His look is like, hey, man, it's going to be better. Matter of fact, His look was basically telling Peter, "Peter, when you get converted, go strengthen your brothers." And part of Peter's conversion was the storm he was in. Part of our greatest day depends on us coming to a reality that the fear of man is in our life, and we need to do something about it. We need that door shut. We need to deal with the mind battle that comes with it. Your best day of serving and being a part of who God says you are depends on how you make a stepping stone out of this message today. I agree. Because there's going to be a voice and a sound that comes out of you, amen, like living water. And it's going to be a shout with the voice of triumph. God caused you to win. Amen. And so, I just know that looks matter. We all can look at one another and communicate, can't we? I had a full-grown boxer. Dog, that is. Love that dog. Precious. Me and him had a relationship. And I could look at him such a way, he'd run, jump in my arms. But then I could look at him another way, and he'd bend his head down. And I didn't have to say nothing. I could communicate with him with a look. I'm not calling us dogs here today, but let me just then tell you, God loves you. And he's not looking down on you. He's looking at you today, and his look speaks volumes to you and I to say, come on, trust me. Trust me. Come follow me. Stay close by. Your best days are before you. Peter was one of those that Jesus had chose to be the spokesman for the greatest event, amen, of the outpouring of God's Spirit. You can go look at it in Acts chapter 2. But this is what's beautiful about Peter getting ready for that. Satan wanted to sift Peter, and God allowed him to sift Peter with his greatest and strongest weapon, the fear of man. If Peter can be sifted by the fear of man, you and I can be sifted by the fear of man. Believers who are bound by the fear of man cannot and will not make Jesus first. It's not possible. Jeremiah 17:5 says it this way, that thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. The moment I'm trying to please man, the moment that I'm trying to control man and my relationships around me, I depart from the Lord. Did y'all get that? So I'm encouraging you as a believer today. If you're tempted to try to please someone in your life more than you please God, you have to leave him in order to do that. I think I need to pause a minute and let that sink in. But Pastor, I ain't got no choice. It's going to be tough at the house if I don't please my spouse, if I don't please my teenagers, if I don't please my boss. Come on, my employer. I didn't say your spouse. If your spouse is the boss, they're control freaks. To do that, you have to leave God in order for that to happen. But if you will please him, amen, and let him have control in your life as Lord and King of your life, you can become a blessing to everybody around you. Because God can say it better than I can say it, but he's looking for a mouthpiece. And the only mouthpiece that he can use is one that's pleasing him. Amen? Somebody's going to catch this today and realize that today is the last day that the enemy's going to have rule in their life through the fear of man. That door has to be shut. And so no minister, no person can say what Jesus says like he says it to you. Amen. I can't say it like he can say it to you. Jesus can't be replaced by man successfully. And so if you're thinking, man, I'm not going to be able to live without them in my life, that don't work successfully. You're not going to be able to live without God in your life. And when we get God in the place that he's designed to be in our lives, amen, we'll have healthy relationships all around us. The third thing you need to know about fear, and with this, I challenge you in our closing, is it traps others through you. It traps others through you. Have you ever said this to anybody? I'm not okay. And it's your fault. Have you ever thought that about somebody? When you say this, when you give thought to it and you allow it to roll over in your spirit, you're allowing your bondage of the fear of man to trap the one whom you blame. The person that you're causing, amen, to believe that they're actually causing you that kind of problem, you're putting them in bondage as well. You see, when we're bound, we bind others. The fruit that we produce, we give it to others. And we do this often ignorantly. When you're bound, you set the same traps that trapped you and bind you for others to be trapped in. I've done that more than I want to talk about, and done it ignorantly, done it through ministry. Had good intentions. Did y'all know good intentions won't get you very far? You can be sincere too and be sincerely wrong. Anybody ever done that before? You've heard the cliche that misery loves company. Are you saying that I'm being used by the devil? Yeah. And you shouldn't feel good about it. You see, you shouldn't feel good about the fact that Jesus, you should feel real good about the fact that Jesus can deliver you. When we're in bondage to the fear of man, we're wounded. And when we're wounded, we can't help but wound others. How open are you in your conversation with God or about God? How much fun do you have giving the good news away? Just consider this for a minute. In John 7:13, however, no one spoke openly of Jesus for fear of the Jews. Fear of man, right? Have you ever feared man to the point that you, man, I want to give them the gospel. I want to give them some good news. I want to give them hope, but I'm scared of them. Anybody ever thought like that before? Then you know you're bound by the fear of man, and you need to shut that door. John 9:22, the parents of a man that was healed. Notice what they said. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. And so they were calculating everything they said so that they wouldn't be accused of confessing Christ because of the fear of man. John 19:38. Is this okay? After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus. Now notice this, he's a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for the fear of the Jews, went to Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. But he secretly went for the fear of men. John 20:19. When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, hold it, because of the fear of the Jews. What are they fearing? Jesus has just been crucified, he's been buried, and they're freaking out. And they're hiding. This is what I like about this story. You can be bound by the fear of man to the point that you can't even preach the gospel. You can't lay hands on the sick and then recover. Come on, I'm talking to Christianity as a whole right now. Because there's lots of believers that go to church on Sunday that they can't say, you know what, I didn't pray for nobody this week. I didn't see nobody healed. I didn't see nobody set free. Hello. And I'm here today, but I know I need to be close to Jesus and I need help. That Jesus will walk through the bondage you're in. And the scripture says right here, and Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Just telling you right now, where you are as it relates to the fear of man, he comes right into your bondage and he lets you know it don't have to be this way. You can be set free. You don't have to fear man. You can have peace. History bears out that the Jews were so concerned about what men thought that they operated out of pretense. And Jesus called them out on their passion to please people and to give an outward show. He called them out on it in Matthew 23:15. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Yes, it's hard to hear that kind of preaching when you're sick, but the good news is there's a cure. That's the good news. Jesus is not giving a diagnosis of something that he cannot fix in our life. He's in on this. He's right here. All this has been planned so that you and him would rendezvous and you could know him. For you that are feeling bad right now because, oh my God, I've been a control freak or I've been a people pleaser and I don't really know what to do, the Lord knows what to do. This is the beauty of why we do what we do at New Life Fellowship, so that we can give this wonderful message called the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody, he said, the reason I came was so that I can leave this promise with you, and that after this promise has been left with you, you would have power to be an overcomer. He tells him, he said, look, don't even try to be a witness before you're empowered. He said, you wait right here. And he chose Jerusalem to be the place he started it. And so they waited. And then when Jesus started this baptism of fire and of spirit, he started it in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, and it hadn't stopped since. People that are overcoming, amen, this fear of man, that the idea of pleasing men or controlling men, amen, are those that are being baptized in the spirit and fire, and they're full of boldness. What are you saying, preacher? Let me encourage you. The same group that were filled with the spirit and fire in Acts chapter 2, all of a sudden in Acts chapter 4, they're full of fear. Oh, yeah. I mean, man, it's easy to say, well, back in 1975, me and Jesus met, and boy, I got on fire, and I've been a believer since. But this is what happened. In Acts 2, man, they're telling everybody. In Acts 4, they're scared to death to tell anybody. And they all gather in a place where they're talking about, man, dude, they're threatening to kill us right now. And man, everybody shut up. And great fear had come up on them. And actually, read it for yourself. And then they decided, well, we're going to please God. So they prayed. And when they prayed in Acts chapter 4, the place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. And great boldness came up on them that they went out and told everybody. If your faith in Jesus don't have you on fire, the Lord wants you to know you don't have to leave today until you're filled with the Spirit and with fire, and that you have the boldness you've never had before, because now you know that you know that you know God's got me. Some of this is registering on somebody here today. We need to accept this today. The fact that we are bound by what we put on others. All fear-based relationships deteriorate into two categories. And the number one category that it deteriorates into is when you're in bondage to the fear of man, you want to contain and control them, and this is slavery. And secondly, when you can't contain and control man, what you do then is you shift into another mode of rejecting and reviling. I'm not okay, and it's your fault. And that is the number one strongest bondage that are in lives today, the fear of man. So what's the solution? What's the answer? Proverbs 29:25, we know that fearing people is a dangerous trap. But the second part of that verse, it says, but trusting. That word trusting means to yield to. But when you yield to the Lord, it means safety. Amen. The attitude that I'm going to yield to God means I'm ready to receive his empowerment, his spirit. The key to deliverance is, number one, seeing it. Amen. Does anybody begin to see right now you need Jesus to help you with this fear of man? That without him, you're not going to be able to do it? Once you see it, oh my goodness, God's not a respecter of person. If they needed the power of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, Acts 4, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, they needed the outpouring of the Spirit then. How much more do we need it today? How much more does our relationships need an act of God in them so that we can truly be happy? Number two, get ministry. You have to have ministry in your life in order for you to yield to God. And the number one ministry is the Holy Spirit and fire. See it and receive it. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you today, amen, that ministry, connecting, being attached to the body of Christ is key. said to the first service this morning, if you're a member of the body of Christ and you're not attached to the body, you die, you deteriorate, you rot, right? But if your hand, if you're a hand or you're a foot, if you're as a member of the body of Christ, if you're attached to the body, what key factor, amen, brings life to you being attached to the body? The blood flow. Blood flow is where the life is. Jesus gave his blood. He gave his life so that you may have life and that life more abundantly. We must determine today, I'm going to please God. What pleases God? I'm going to receive God. I'm going to receive his spirit in my life. You're going to need the thing that you fear to get free. You're going to need people in your life. You're going to need to be connected. Why can't I get free another way, preacher? Because when we're wounded and the wound leaves us vulnerable, got to deal with it, and only he can heal it. That's the first group this morning. I said, you've seen these movies where the good guy and the bad guy is fighting, and it looks like the good guy is going to win lose every time because he gets wounded during the fight, kind of like we get wounded in the fight of faith. And the enemy, the bad guy, amen, because he don't want the good guy to win and be able to do what his true design is, he goes for the wound. And they'll put their finger in a wound. They'll put a crowbar in the wound or whatever, because he knows that if he can keep that wound open, he can keep you in bondage. He can keep you bound by the fear of man, the thing that's holding you captive. It was when I became aware that I needed those I had allowed fear to put me in bondage to assist me, that the Holy Spirit was able to free me. I need you in my life. You have a part of Jesus I don't have. Your identity is that powerful that it influences my life that way. My identity in your life in serving you is that powerful. We need each other. Why do we need each other? Because we need Jesus. And when you're bound by the fear of man, it's not that you need man. Amen. You're looking for peace when you're bound by the fear of man. And you're thinking, if I please man, I'll have peace. You're thinking, if I can control man, I'll have peace. No, it's when you begin to let God touch your life that he brings peace and brings hope into your life.